Today on Compassion Radio.
God brings such peace to the believers that when they do the right thing and follow Him, even if they must pay a price, it's still preferable to the kind of peace they had before. There's no comparison. Even if I have to be persecuted or even killed for my faith, this is far superior to what I could have had without Him. This man is inciting this kind of natural human emotion and rage.
I think it's important to note that you're not saying that anger is wrong.
No, I'm not.
There are many times that it is absolutely right to be angry about situations, about injustice.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Well, it's Monday, and that means it's time for Chasing the Word Together. In this weekly series, Bram and his wife Sandy take us on a journey into the lives of the earliest Christians with a look at what it means to have an authentic, world-changing faith. Here's Bram and Sandy to continue with Chapter 19.
So we know that often the Spirit itself is called the lampstand and the covering of the churches, and often is referred to as a sevenfold, whatever. Seven means complete, a God number. So the idea of seven is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So a spirit that could overcome seven speaking in the name of the God who is the God of Paul. This is a very fine line and a very distinctive line that I think the Holy Spirit Himself is trying to make very clear.
Mm-hmm.
You do not toy with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Even for good purposes. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to go out and do the work of God, you don't do the work of God as you determine it can be done or using the tools in your toolkit and make God one of your tools. That ain't right.
Mm.
And God knows right away what your motives are for utilizing or co-opting Him. The spirits know this too. I know there are plenty of times where we've gone up against situations where something's not right here on the spiritual realm. You can sense it. Your prayers are hard to get out of your
mm-hmm.
mind, or things like that have happened when I've traveled. And someone else says, a spirit is oppressing us right now. They're sensitive to those things because they know the culture. They know the spiritual forces and powers that seem to be present in these countries. And they'll say, we need to do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you follow their lead because they are sensitive to the Spirit and how He's speaking to those people in those places. And you respect that.
Absolutely.
If you come back in and say, no. Back at home, this is what we do. This is how we pray. We call a prayer meeting. We write down our prayer requests. We share them and we take them home and put them in our Bibles. And next Friday, we'll come back and see what God did. Yeah, there's a lot more immediacy on the mission field that I've seen
mm-hmm.
than what we allow ourselves here at home. But
what we allow ourselves is a good point to make, though.
So these guys are beaten to a pulp and thrown out. And this became known to all of those who lived in Ephesus, both the Jews and the Greeks. Now, when it says both the Jews and the Greeks, it's basically saying there's not a person in town that didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is the talk of the town. This is the water cooler talk for weeks.
Mm-hmm. I think it's significant, too, that, like you said earlier, there were seven sons.
Mm.
That is considered in Hebrew culture to be like the ultimate blessing, that you have seven sons.
Yes.
Because it's complete. And so this family was probably pretty well esteemed. There were seven sons, and they were all doing this great work.
And I imagine their faith in that numerology, that significance of that number, carried them into expecting that God would do things when
mm-hmm.
they would come to do their work.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not an upstart company. There's something about this family, or maybe their history or their ancestry, that says there have always been exorcists in this group that have authority over demons and have the right to go and speak for God in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably have been, up to this point, very successful.
Possibly.
But now they've stepped into something that is way beyond their ken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're discovering something about God's nature that is unknown to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying a physical price for this.
Well, I think, too, that the demon here, the evil spirit, maybe in some ways it seems like he's patronizing these men.
Yeah.
Perhaps if they would have come in the way they had always done things before, this demon would have just quieted down and said, okay, I'll let you feel your success. But then when you leave, I'm still here.
Right.
But they start bringing up Jesus, and he's like, we're not doing this. We're not playing this game. You're not getting away with this.
And imagine it'd be like an operating theater. Someone actually wrote down the story because they saw it happen. Mm-hmm. It's not just seven people in the room with this demon saying, oh, this is what happened to us later, and admitting to all. They've been shamed. They've been mm-hmm. humiliated. Mm-hmm. So my guess is like watching a TV show where you have an operating room down below and a gallery above. People are watching what's going on down there. And these experts are going at this disease or at this tumor, and people are watching how they do it. Somebody is witnessing all of this.
Exactly.
And some of them might be followers of Jesus already. And they bring up the name of Jesus. Ooh, there's power in that name. They're already praying this thing. The Spirit of God is swirling around this place in my book. And by the time this demon responds, he realizes he's got an escape clause, a hatch to get out of the situation. And no one's going to hold him back from punishing them for abusing the authority that is God and God's alone to who he chooses to grant it. And so he says exactly what he says, but it is a testimony. It is a testimony to the power of God. Mm-hmm. It is a testimony to the obedience and the authority of Paul to speak on his behalf. So this demon is doing more to evangelize Ephesus yeah. than many people have in all of history.
Right, right. So we can continue now. That was just a thought that I had.
There. And we have a few more minutes in this program, so let's finish it up here. A fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified and exalted. So he became well known and people admired him. Mm. Many of those who had become believers were coming, confessing, and disclosing their former sinful practices.
My version says occult practices. So these were actually people that were involved in the occult in some way, in
some secret societies and things,
evil yeah. spirits into their midst.
And there are plenty of those kind of secret societies even today that have names that people are familiar with that do good things in communities but do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and then try to funnel people into a works righteousness and other deeper wisdoms. Mm-hmm. That are dangerous in the long run because they do draw people away from an open and transparent faith, which is what God wants us to have. Mm-hmm. Many of those who had practiced magical arts collected their books and throwing book after book on the pile began burning them in front of everyone. That's a big statement. Mm. Yes, these are dangerous practices because they've been modeled in a snide way across history to go against Christians and truth and freedom of expression and knowledge and personal agency. It has been used to oppress people. Mm. This example, this is not oppressing others. It's giving testimony to what you personally have been liberated from. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to worry about burning records from the 70s for rock and roll groups and stuff that Christian churches seem to get involved with. I don't want to make a statement here about what we should be burning today. Mm-hmm. These people felt like this was their offering of worship because many things would be burned in the temples anyway. They took the things that were their secret things. They knew that were tempting them, were drawing them away from God and said, enough of this. Just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And they burned it in front of everyone. They calculated the value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in today's money. So the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation through faith in Christ was growing greatly and prevailing. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Prevailing means that it's seeping into every corner of society and changing things. Mm-hmm. It is driving out other worldviews. It is pushing down the strongholds of Satan. It is going places that even people that believe were not expecting it to go. Mm-hmm. It is prevailing over the culture of the time in that place. And not because it was on a conquest. It was not conquestual. It was not a crusade. This was simply the Holy Spirit, like a flame, jumping from heart to heart. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the pot was now boiling.
Well, this is a conquest of love.
Yes, it is.
If you have to call it a conquest.
And after these events, Paul determined in the Spirit that he would travel through Macedonia and Achaia, most of the Greek mainland. Why did he decide that? Perhaps he looked around and said, what more can I do here? Mm-hmm. This place is on fire. There are all kinds of leaders. People are really submitting and learning the word of God, and they're hungry for it, and they can take care of themselves because God's certainly got their hearts. Mm-hmm. I think that many times when pastors have finished a ministry at a certain location and said, I love being here. I love this congregation. I would stay here the rest of my life, but God is stirring up in them something new. They realize that they're not called to be the ones that finish the race with a congregation. They're called to be the ones that help people start the race. Mm. So they're called to be apostles. So they step out of the congregation they're serving and ask God, where next? We look at those people and we sometimes say, well, they're just restless. They should stay with us. We're giving them a great job. The mm-hmm. church is still growing. Why would you go now? I mean, great pastors that are great writers, like Francis Chan is a contemporary example now. He was in the catbird seat of his great ministry in California, and God said, get out of there.
Yeah.
And he tells about that quite literally. He felt like he could not stand another day not being obedient to God, even though his heart was with the people he was with there. And God does this and pulls people out to move them on to something else for his purposes.
Right.
And Paul is no different. And he said to them, I must go to Jerusalem. After I've been there, I must also see Rome and preach the good news of salvation there. So a revelation is coming to him that God's going to use him in the very seat of power in the Roman Empire to preach the gospel there. I imagine it's probably buoyed up by all of the faith and renewal, the kind of revival that's happening there in Ephesus. If it can happen here at this great seat of power in the eastern part of the empire, God is showing the template for what I'm going to do in Rome. I think he's sensing that. So buoyed by that faith and that experience, he's carried forward now with great expectations.
Well, we know that he's spent 2 years here. He's been discipling. He's been growing this church. They've been experiencing some amazing miracles and seeing the work of God just explode, like you said. So you're right. I think it's Paul is realizing that this place is sustainable in and of itself. The Holy Spirit is here. God is at work here. These are strong believers. There's men and women here who will carry out this work regardless if I'm here or not.
I would hope that people understanding that this really did happen, that one of the great initial revivals in history of the modern church happened in Ephesus, would encourage people to go back and read Ephesians and say, why would this book be written to that group of people? What had shifted? What was it? What needed to be addressed? We see the story here. We know how it began. What else is going on in Ephesus that Paul is addressing from afar when he writes them that letter? As we read it with modern ears, what's the subtext here? If they started so well and things were going beautifully and powerfully and universally and pervasively, why does Paul need to address these issues now and get into the seat of people who are still in the pews on a given Sunday, having to deal with the new challenges of their faith that came up as a result of their beginning of faith in the power that it showed? Paul writes these epistles to them later for a reason, but they're based in historical relationships. He didn't write letters to places he's never been.
I think we might see glimpses of that reason in the second half of chapter 19.
Honey, what an awesome time we spent over the last couple of weeks in the first half of the book
this is loaded.
Of Acts, chapter 19, talking about what God did in Ephesus. Powerful stuff. And it flowed through all of the things we see in the Gospels. Prepare ye the way of the Lord was a message that had reached Ephesus. And those people who followed the way of John the Baptist were ready. Their pots were already on simmer. Things are beginning to stir in their hearts. And when they heard the word of God from Paul, who asked them a simple question, I see you're following the way. Tell me about this. And have you received the Holy Spirit? Two very straightforward questions that launched a huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that place. And now we're in the middle of the chapter and pushing toward the end here about what happened afterwards. Paul has finished up 2 years of ministry. And he's moving forward now to say, God is now calling me to do things down through Greece and Rome and Jerusalem. He's going to be ping-ponging around the entire empire. He knows it in his heart. And he says this. So let's pick it up, if we would.
Well, last week when we left off, we see that Paul says, I need to go. I'm going to head to Macedonia and Achaia and eventually to Jerusalem. And I need to go to Rome as well.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
Hi, friends. This is Cher Nelson. I can't believe how fast this year has flown by, and here we are in the heart of our annual Bibles for China project. I know many of you look forward to this every year, excited to make a major impact on the world through your year-end giving. And we have great news. Our dear friend, John Podiety, and the folks at Bibles for the World were so encouraged by your response last year that they have joyfully asked us to partner with them again. Their enthusiasm is a high compliment to your faithful action. Last year, you helped deliver thousands of new study Bibles and Gospels of John to churches across three regions of China. And friends, we need your help again. Won't you help our precious family in China receive a copy of God's Word this Christmas season? We want to be able to send as many Bibles to China as possible. Will you please partner with us in this very important endeavor? Your gift will help to place a Bible in the hands of a Chinese Christian on the other side of the world, people in desperate need of God's Word. May God richly bless you, and may you have a wonderful Christmas with your family and friends. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. Here's Frank to tell you how to partner with us.
You can support the Compassion Radio 2019 Bibles for China Project right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. It's really easy to do. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone, just go ahead and text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you, friends, and God bless.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. God speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice, word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So in verse 22, we pick up and he says, so he sent Timothy and Erastus, two of his helpers, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a little while longer in Asia. It was during this time that a major incident occurred involving the way. An idol maker named Demetrius had a profitable business for himself and for others, making silver shrines for Artemis, also known as Diana by the Romans, one of the deities worshipped in Ephesus. So we know from history that there was a very large temple to Diana or Artemis in Ephesus. And I think there are ruins there now that you can actually go and see.
We also read from the last part of this chapter that a huge pervasive outpouring of the gospel and the Spirit of God himself went to every level of society. Mm-hmm. This affects economies. Mm-hmm. When people stop buying things that worship devils, that has an impact on those who make the devils. Mm-hmm. It is an economic and a social and a cultural impact. And not because someone's trying to say, we want to sell something else. They're simply saying, I no longer have a desire in my heart to follow those things. Why should I spend money on it? We make those decisions every day about what things are important to us, about what we buy. And it has transformed the economy of the entire region. And now the kickback begins.
Demetrius calls a meeting of all of the artisans who are similarly employed in idol making. Everyone in the idol making industry comes together. They're having a conference.
It's like a guild.
Yeah. And he says to them, men, we are all colleagues in this fine line of work, and we're making a good living doing what we're doing. But we better wake up, or we're going to go broke. You've heard about this fellow Paul here in Ephesus. He's already convinced a large number of people to give up using idols. So it sounds like Demetrius has called all of the area idol makers, not just in Ephesus, but all around the area, and they've come together for this meeting. It says he's been doing the same kind of thing in almost everywhere he's gone throughout Asia. He's telling people that our products are worthless.
In the current economy. Yeah.
Yes. So Paul is messing things up for them. He's really causing a disturbance. It's bad enough that he is slandering our fine and honorable profession. But do you see where this is leading? If his lies catch on, the temple of Artemis itself will be called a fraud. The great goddess of our region, the majestic deity who is revered here in Asia and around the world, will be disgraced. At that, the crowd goes wild with rage. Yeah. So I wonder when I read this, if he really believes what he's saying or if he's just stirring the pot.
Well, he's a populist within his industry, and of course his interests are at stake. So everyone uses hyperbole, I suppose, mm-hmm. to make their point in large crowds. He senses the energy there.
There's he sounds like anger. A politician to me.
Yeah. And there's always been a soft spot in humankind to follow those who incite anger. Mm. It's one of the great dangers of being human. Mm-hmm. It is today. So we have to be very careful. And the Word of God makes it very clear that we should not resort to rage about things that affect us. We should submit our emotions and our thoughts to the God filter first. God, what mm-hmm. do you want us to know and think about these things? Because we need to see the world as you see it. When we actually do that and we submit ourselves and bring ourselves under the Holy Spirit, let him have the say, the counsel, the wisdom. God is happy to make himself known, and he always builds peace. Now, he may put peace in us that incites anger in others. And persecution across all of history has been like that. God brings such peace to the believers that when they do the right thing and follow him, even if they must pay a price, it's still preferable to the kind of peace they had before. There's no comparison. Even if I have to be persecuted or even killed for my faith, this is far superior to what I could have had without him. Mm. This man is inciting this kind of natural human emotion and rage.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note that you're not saying that anger is wrong.
No, I'm not.
There are many times that it is absolutely right to be angry about situations, about injustice.
And there is righteous indignation, too. Mm-hmm. Seeing something is so distasteful, I can't even go there. Please don't make me even look at that anymore. That mm-hmm. is so against everything that I know I am, mm-hmm. that we have to turn our head away from it. Mm-hmm. Those things do come up in us, and others may see in us at those times, oh, well, they're just, you know, hyper-moral people. They're
raging, yeah.
They're looking down at us now, as if we're some kind of haughty people now. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult thing to communicate the truth right. of our submission to the Holy Spirit of God and our love for people, and at the same time, be able to say with an honest heart, what you're doing is so repulsive, I can't go there with mm-hmm. you, but I love you.
We need to make sure that we understand that is the different thing that we're talking about here, that this is a rage that has been incited in this crowd that is going to turn very violent.
Against those of the way.
Right.
Yes.
So they begin to chant, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" And soon the whole city is filled with confusion and a mob forms. Yeah. They find Paul's Macedonian travel companions, Gaius and Aristarchus, and drag them to the theater. Paul wants to go and confront the crowd and protect his friends, but the disciples say no, they hold him back. Even some provincial officials of Asia who are friendly to Paul send him an urgent message, warning him to stay away from the theater. So these guys may not actually be believers, but they have such respect for Paul and what Paul is doing and the work that has happened through Paul and the disciples. They're saying, do not come here.
Well, there have always been people in governments who, whether they understand what you believe or not, are people of peace. They don't want to see a bloodbath.
Exactly.
So there's a baseline morality there as it's present. And those who assume positions of authority had better have some of that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have despots and psychopaths in positions of authority and holding a gun.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.